I believe even the PowerPoint is anxious this morning. It's good to see all of you this morning. This is a Lord's Day, and it's beautiful on the inside, regardless of what it's like on the outside. We're glad that you're here, and especially if you're visiting with us. We hope you'll sign our guest register before you leave. We'd love to have a record of your visit. If you have any questions about anything that this congregation stands for or teaches or practices, it wouldn't hurt our feelings in the least for you to ask about that. In fact, we're open for questions, and we encourage them and hope that you will ask them. You've heard a couple of times mentioned about our new curriculum that we're starting, and that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. We've implemented this before, but we have new teachers and new students, and many people have been involved in working to try to make this a success. There have been many hours going into it. And so we appreciate that so much. You've heard me say before, many of you have, that the strength of a congregation is not who's in the pulpit, but it's the Bible classes that we have. And I believe that. But it helps when the preacher's on board with the Bible classes, and I am on board. I believe in this curriculum. I've had the opportunity to teach it on two different occasions. Once we even implemented it for a while in the adult classes, although it's not really designed for adults originally. And it's not perfect, but it's some of the best material, I believe, and best approach in teaching young minds. And so all of us need to be on board with that. Elders and deacons and teachers and preachers and parents and students, for the good of our children. We care about them, we care about their future, and we care about the next generation. And so we're working on that behalf. And we can't emphasize too strongly how important these Bible classes are for your children. And so we need everybody on board in regard to that. We need you praying for it as well and encouraging others also. There is a bit of information. The students will be given a folder, and this is from the 6 months up to the sixth grade. They'll be given a folder, and I want to just state briefly what's going to be shown in that folder. And down here on the left corner, you see a section there. This pocket contains various items to enhance communication among Bible class students, their teachers, and their parents. Examples are weekly feedback form. There's no need to return that. Activities completed in class, no need to return that. But this one, return. Additional activities, assignments not included in the weekly lesson. And then also, down on the other side of the folder, lessons for the current week, a note to the parents, please assist your child as needed to review the lesson content, ensure that all activities have been completed, indicate your child has discussed the lesson with you by signing it on the first page, and return the lesson to your child's teacher in the same pocket. Now, what's different about this program? A lot of times, we get a lesson ahead of time, and we come together on Sunday morning after we've gotten our lesson. But in this, we're going to kind of do it the opposite. We come to class on Sunday morning, we have the lesson, then you go home, and it's reinforced at home, and then you come back on Wednesday night and discuss the lesson. So to students, this note, be sure and bring your folder and your Bible to class each meeting, and also be ready with your memory verse. And each week you'll have a lesson sheet. And I had a poster up here, but it's gone. Somebody must have put it up. Was it back there? Okay. I'm just going to show you one of the posters. Every week is going to be a different theme for the students. And there will be a poster each time that goes along with the lesson. And this lesson, well, this was number 8. It's dealing with beautiful animals. And from where you are, I don't know if you can see it or not, but it shows us how wise God is. And a lot of the things he's done, such as beautiful colors like that, he didn't do those for him, he did those for us. And it helps us to appreciate how wise God is and how we ought to appreciate him. And each one of the posters will go along with the theme of the lesson on that particular Sunday, and that'll be true for the first 6 months. Now, there's another form also we want to look at. And those will be completed and sent home in a 3-ring folder. And this one is also one the teacher may send home. checking whether the student arrived on time, ready for study. They remembered to bring their Bible and their lesson was prepared and well prepared in the with the correct lesson and handouts completed. Learned the memory work, completed the work on prayers, and these lessons emphasize prayer very much. We need that. And whether they turned in sermon notes, and that's not expected of the preschoolers to do that, but there's a little form that they can, keywords that they can look for in the sermon. And other information there that the parent, the teacher may send home. We have our roster presently. These are, and it begins July the 1st, actually first Sunday in July. And also some of the occasional visitors that we know that are coming. In the babies class, from 6 months up to 2 years, we have five in that class right now. And then in the preschool class, we've got 10 in that one. In the kindergarten to the third grade, we've got seven in that class. And we've got six in the grades 4 through 6. So we've got a good start there. And I'm real pleased with that. Now, the question may arise, why did the elders choose this particular curriculum? Well, I'm not going to tell you. We'll go ask them. But in past generations, I believe, in churches of Christ, we've emphasized the academics. Nothing wrong with emphasizing academics. We need that. We need to know the truth. But it's what we've left undone that we need to focus on. And that's the emotional aspect of the heart. We've kind of neglected that. And so denominations often emphasize emotion to the neglect of the truth. We don't want to do that in neglect to biblical accuracy. We don't want to do that. Jesus said, "They shall all be taught of God, and it shall be written on their hearts." So we're trying to reach the hearts of young people, and maybe we've neglected that in the past. And so we want to place it in their hearts. And I believe this is a good way to do that. This curriculum helps do that. And our children are precious. They're valuable to us. We want them to grow up to be strong Christians so that they can in turn teach their children as well. We want to put it in their hearts. You heard the scripture reading a few moments ago in Deuteronomy 6. I'm going to read it again from one of the newer translations. I want you to notice what it says, verses 5 through 7. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." Notice, love with the heart. That's what we're emphasizing. "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates." So the idea is of saturating your children with the Word of God. And so that's what we want to do. We also want to learn what it means to have the heart of a servant. Jesus had the heart of a servant, and we want to teach people to be like Jesus. So I'm going to go through the lessons, basically. And there are nine cards that, in a nutshell, tell you God's plan from before the foundation of the world. And it begins with this first one here. "Before the foundation of the world, God made a great plan, and He included you and me in it. He began to share that plan with the first fathers. He picks Abraham to be Christ's family." Now, I know sometimes we're talking about Abraham. We're talking about Christ's physical family. He tells them they'll become a big family, a great nation. He promises them a great land to live in, the promised land. He promises them that from that family and from that land would come a great blessing for the whole world. Christ's family grows into a big family, and Moses leads them from slavery in Egypt to the edge of the promised land. And then when they get there 40 years later, Joshua leads Christ's family across the Jordan, and they begin to take the promised land. But they sin, and they're oppressed by surrounding nations. When they repent, God chooses judges to deliver them. Christ's family doesn't want judges. They want kings to lead them. And one of the first kings, David, takes all the promised land for Israel. But during the time of the kings, Christ's family loses part of the land, and then they lose all of the land because of their sins. Well, the family is taken into captivity, in Babylonian captivity. and they're away from home. And there are some brave homesick heroes while they're in captivity that help them and help lead them to, in this time of repentance. And of course, we remember Daniel and Esther as being significant, and they're on the chart there. But finally, Christ's family gets to come home again. And because God promised them a great blessing that would come from that family, and God keeps his promises and from that land. And so key figures are Ezra, Nehemiah, and Zerubbabel during that time. And the family waits for the great promise and plan, which is fulfilled in Christ. Christ comes to die and to give you and me the power to become part of his family. I'm adopted into God's family. I build my life on God's plan. I'll go home in heaven someday to live with my family forever. Those are the nine cards. That's in a nutshell what God's plan was from before the foundation of the world. And it's best if the teacher not get bogged down, try not to get bogged down in some of the details, because you're going to be filling all of that in later. And that'll come with over the next several weeks. Now, each lesson has a particular theme, and these are the first four lessons. The first one they emphasize is that God makes great plans for wise men to follow. And I know you can't read that from where you are. The whole lesson is about that. The next lesson is about Noah follows God's plan exactly. The third lesson is Abraham follows God's plan, even when it's very difficult. And the fourth lesson is the Israelites complain about God's plan. So all of these are different reactions that people have toward God's plan. And you can find yourself in one or more of these. Then the next four lessons, the Israelites turn to God's plan, the brazen serpent, you remember that, when they're in trouble. The whole lesson's about that. And then the next one, Balaam wants Balak's plan. He wants them to curse the Israelites more than he wants God's plan. Have you ever been in that position? And then the next lesson, Joshua follows God's battle plan for Jericho. The next one, Achan loves Jericho's riches more than he loves God's plan. In the next lesson, Israel wants kings more than they want God's plan. The next lesson, King Saul follows only part of God's plan. And then the next one, King David didn't study God's plan, and Uzzah didn't follow God's plan when they moved the Ark of the Covenant. Remember that? And then the next lesson, King Jeroboam changes God's plan, and he has people coming to worship in Dan and Beersheba to worship golden calves rather than go back to Jerusalem. The next four lessons, a young prophet to King Jeroboam believes someone else's plan instead of God's plan, and it's disastrous for him. King Ahab thinks he can hide from God's plan. Then Naaman follows God's plan, even though he's angry with Elisha and thinks the plan is silly. People like that. And then Jonah, he can't see the love in God's plan. And then the next lesson is King Jehoiakim tries to destroy God's plan when they burned it in the fire. The next one, Nebuchadnezzar thinks he's in charge of planning for God. And then Ezra helps Israel come back to God's plan. And then when Jesus is born, angels and wise men realize he is God's plan. And then finally, when Jesus begins his work, wise men recognize him as God's plan. In the next lesson, Martha gets too busy for God's plan. That happens to us sometimes. And then the Ethiopian eunuch, he's eager to learn and follow God's plan. And then the next one, God's plan is best for me. It will lead me to heaven. So those are the lessons that our young people will be studying in the first 6 months. And the teachers have various helps and aids. They'll have a answer key. Can't see that very well, but that'll be easy to follow when you get it. Also, when we look at those cards, when we're building this wall and this information, and I want to stress to the teachers, don't be overwhelmed, don't be intimidated, don't be discouraged. You're building it just a little bit at a time. You don't have to do all that at once. Each week, you're maybe adding another card or two to the board. And so you're filling in God's plan as it unfolds in the Old Testament and coming down to the present time as well. So it's easy to follow that, and these keys will help you to see that, although you can't read them. Now, one of the walls will end up, and they've updated those nine cards. They're a lot prettier than the ones I just showed you, and more information on them. And this is a wall that's being built, but it was built little by little, so don't let that scare you. Now, we're aware that the theme of the Bible is not about world history, what's going on all over the world. But world history is often mentioned when it relates to God's plan. And so we often read of things that are going on in the world. So we call this a who and a when wall. And in one of the classes we tried to implement, I did try to put a timeline above all that that showed what was going on in the world at the same time the story of God's family is taking place. Because the Bible is mainly about God's family, Christ's family. But there were other things going on in the world, historical things. And so we showed where Socrates and Aristotle and all them were. But that's not necessary. But that's one thing you may want to think about. When Darlene Walker was here, she's one of the ladies that helped write this material. When she was stressing the kings, often, especially in the side of Judah, on the right side there, she would connect the crowns of the kings to show that there was a dynasty there, like you had David's dynasty. But some of the ones, especially in the northern kingdom, they didn't have any dynasties because they weren't really a part of God's plan. And then there was also a where wall, where we have the maps. And the map on the left, of course, is the land of Israel. And a lot of Jesus' teaching and the apostles were in that land. But then as the gospel began to spread throughout the world, we see the Mediterranean Sea on the left side, on the right map there. And then the whole Mesopotamian area there, where a lot of the Bible story takes place. You see the two rivers, the Tigris and Euphrates. And that's mainly, that area is where the story of the Bible occurs. And the gospel spread out from there. Now, there are certain themes that are followed each 6 months. And the first one, of course, God is wise. And you're overwhelmed with how wise God is as you go through those lessons. And why we need to follow him. And then the second one, the theme is light and water. And it's amazing how many times God uses light and water to implement his plan. And how important they are to his plan. And there are certain mind stickers that will help you in teaching. Well, let me go ahead and mention the rest of the themes. Life and bread. God often uses that to illustrate lessons. There's a whole theme on victory for 6 months. And then families and travel. We're on a journey. We're pilgrims, like Abraham and his family were. And it stresses families. Also, eyes and choices. There are a lot of choices that we have to make in life. And the Bible shows some good choices that people made and some bad choices. Also, fall and changes. Men often fall away. And there are changes that have to take place. And then we learned about the prophets. So this is a four-year curriculum, and it takes you through the Bible 8 times, following a particular theme each time. Now, it doesn't go into every detail, but when you, it's kind of layered. So as you layer this over the four-year period, you've got a good knowledge of the Bible if you've come to class regularly. Now, I mentioned there are certain mind stickers, things that will help the teachers and the students. Here's one that I've always liked. Always the best, my powerful God reigns. Here's how you learn the world empires. Always, the letter A stands for Assyrian. They were a world empire, and they zapped Israel and took the 10 northern tribes known as Israel into captivity, into Assyrian captivity. And they kind of disintegrated. We don't have any traces of them today. And then later on, Babylon took Judah into captivity. They zapped Judah. So always the best. There's the Assyrian and the Babylonian. My powerful, the M and the P stand for the Medo-Persian Empire. And this was the period in which the captives were allowed to go back home. And they did under Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah and us others. And then the Greek Empire was kind of between the two Testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And then finally the Roman Empire, which was the one Daniel prophesied, and Christ comes during the time of the Roman Empire, and Caesar Augustus was in power. So always the best, my powerful God reigns. If you can remember that phrase, that helps you remember the world empires and the order in which they were in power, the Assyrian, Babylonian, Medo-Persian, the Greek, and the Roman. And there are different kinds of mind stickers like that will help the lesson stay with you. And, well, we might just notice another one right quick. This one, after the kingdom divided and the northern kingdom quits going to Jerusalem to worship, and Jeroboam institutes evil calf worship in Dan and Beersheba so the people won't go back to Jerusalem, here's a phrase: Israel's evil ends holy days at Jerusalem. They quit going back to Jerusalem to worship. And if you remember that, starting with the word evil, Elijah, evil ends, Elisha, holy days, Hosea, at Amos, Jerusalem, Jonah. Those are the five prophets that prophesied to the northern kingdom after the kingdom divided. So Israel's evil ends holy days at Jerusalem will help you to remember who the prophets were that prophesied to them, trying to get them to come back to the Lord and back to God's plan. And there are various things like that that will help the lesson stay with you. And so that's good to remember. So our young people will be learning about the kings and about the prophets who prophesied to them and the messages they brought, and there are a lot of good lessons there. Now, what is the value in studying the Old Testament? A lot of the emphasis is on the Old Testament. Since we're not under the old law anymore, that's a natural question that someone might raise. Why do we study that? We're not under that law. Well, it helps us to understand how God deals with man. It helps us to understand a lot of things about God and how his principles in dealing with man have always been the same. He's always required faith plus obedience in every age. So let's look and see what the New Testament tells us about the Old Testament. It says in Romans 15 and verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written in earlier times were written for our instruction." So we get some instruction from the old law, "that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." We all need hope. The Scriptures give us that, the Old Testament Scriptures. He's talking about that there. Now, we understand that the Old Testament is not our rule for worship today. That's been done away. That's why we're not offering any animal sacrifices today or burning incense. We understand that. But it still contains many valuable lessons, and it helps us to understand the new, because the old contains shadows that point toward the realities in the New Testament. Look at 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. "Now these things happen to them as examples." Examples for who? "And they were written for our admonition." They're examples for us, on whom the ends of the ages have come. So all of those lessons in the Old Testament are not wasted space. And we discourage you from cutting the Old Testament out of your Bible. Don't do that. It's very valuable. And we have the Lord's approval of us learning lessons from it. It's just not our rule for worship, or else we'd be still divided into tribes, and we'd still have a high priest, and be offering old sacrifices. And then look at 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. The New Testament wasn't completed at this time. It was still in the process. And this would, of course, include the part that was already available, but not all of it was available. But look at what Paul says about it. "All Scripture," it should be is "given by the inspiration of God and is profitable." It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. If you want to know if something is a good work, the Scriptures will thoroughly furnish you with that information. And you won't have to wonder about it anymore. But it furnishes us for every good work, and if we can't find it in the Scriptures, authority for it, then it's not a good work. It may be a good work in man's eyes, but not in God's eyes. And he's the one we're trying to please. So, also we want to point out that these lessons emphasize the importance of prayer. So each week, the child will have a prayer page. And these are daily prayer suggestions for the family. And you'll notice it's divided up into four categories. The first column there is addressing God. We need to learn to respect God and address him in a proper way and with reverence. And so here are some samples. "Dear God, you are the wise one. You are the great planner. You're the great creator. You are powerful, you are kind, you are thoughtful. You're gracious. You're helpful. You're good at making light. You're good at making water when you're on that theme. And then the second column is praising God. Dear God, you planned the world. You created the heavens and earth. You spoke and light was made. You separated light and darkness. You made the sun, moon, and stars. You commanded the waters to go down and mountains to rise up to give us dry land. You give us the light we need today. You give the water we need today. And each lesson goes along with whatever theme we're studying at that time. The third column is our thanksgiving unto God. We need to be thankful for what God has done for us. Thank you for planning well for us, for using your great power to help us, for taking away darkness, for giving us light, for making the sun, moon, and star, for giving us water. And then the fourth column are things that we're asking God for in the way of blessings. Dear God, help us to be impressed by your mighty deeds, creating light and water. Help us to be impressed by your great power that keeps light and water going. You know, somebody's keeping that going. Someone is. Dear God, help us to be impressed by your gracious kindness that gives us the light and water we need. Help us to love you, to honor you, to praise you. Thank you every time we turn on a light and every time we take a drink of water. So this teaches children how to pray, and it teaches us as adults too. We kind of need that outline to help us pray. Let's look at another one. We won't go through all of it. Again, addressing God. Dear God, you are the wise one. You are perfectly great. You're perfectly good. You are the hero of history. God is the hero of the Bible. He's the giver of life. He's the maker of trees and flowers. He's the animal planter. We're going to have a lot of emphasis about animals during that first 6 months and how wise God was in making those animals the way he made them. And we have to be impressed with his wisdom when we really look at them and examine them. So we'll be looking at the creation. Dear God, you are the creator. You're the only one who loves us perfectly. You are our savior from death. You are our hope of eternal life. And then the second column, praising God. You created the heavens and the earth. You made all living things. You give us life. You created us in your image. And all of these lessons, each lesson will have a prayer page. And then it will also have a blank prayer page where the student can fill in for himself or herself things to pray about. Learning how to address God, learning how to praise God, learning how to thank God, and learning how to ask God for blessings. So from time to time, we'll hear sermons from the pulpit that are going to continue to reinforce our curriculum. And we need to all be on board. And with the turnout we had yesterday, I'm convinced there are a lot of people interested in us having good Bible classes, and we want to continue to stress that as best we can. This morning, we haven't really discussed the plan of salvation in detail. We did talk about it when we looked at those 9 cards and we saw God's plan. God's plan for us is for us to become part of Christ's family. And the Bible tells us how to do that. Where we become sons of God. We become brothers to Jesus. He's our older brother when we become a part of his family. We're adopted into that family. People on the day of Pentecost who heard that first gospel sermon, and some of them were the very ones that were involved in crucifying Christ. In fact, 2 times in that sermon, Peter accuses them of having crucified the Lord of glory. And when you're accused of murder, that's not a laughing matter if you don't think you're guilty. But they accepted the charge. They knew they were guilty. And indirectly, you and I are guilty too, because it was our sins that sent him to the cross. And so we share in that guilt. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and verse 23. And the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6 and verse 23. And all of us have been in that situation, or are presently in that situation, and we need forgiveness of our sins so that we'll go to heaven and not hell. This morning, if you have not obeyed the gospel, you can do what those people did on the day of Pentecost when they were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins and they would receive, in the name of Jesus Christ, and they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all them that are afar off, as many as the Lord God, our God, shall call. That includes us. Today we have a wonderful opportunity to be in Christ's family. And if you're not, today would be a good time for you to begin that. We hope you will as we stand and sing the hymn that's been selected.